Jeffrey Jowett back with us. His last book he wrote was Lasting Impressions, A Medium's Cherished Messages from Spirit. He's got a number of books. I'm going to do something a little differently with Jeffrey. In addition to talking with him about his topics tonight, we're going to talk about his other books that he has written going back to 2009, How Hope for Parents Who Have Lost Children. It's just amazing stories. So get ready, and then we'll take your phone calls, questions for him about the other side later on tonight. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Jeff Jowett has a comprehensive science education, and for many years, he pursued an academic career in the natural sciences. His intuition works well with his analytical mind to bring through messages from the spirit world and help recipients interpret what is often deep symbolism. He received certification from the Morris Pratt Institute in mediumship and became an ordained minister through the New Thought Spiritual Center of Palm Springs. Jeffrey, welcome back to the show. How have you been, my friend?
Very good. Very good. I missed seeing you at Contact in the Desert this last year. I see it's going to be virtual this year, but that's the last time I got a chance to see you. So
that's right.
Things are going great.
And hopefully next year we'll all get together again, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I missed that bond. What a perfect segue into our talk tonight with William's work with AI, because intuition is going the other way.
It really is. And you're an intuitive medium, which is a little different from regular mediums, isn't it?
Yeah. So there, most people go by spiritual mediums or psychic medium, and it has to do with what level of consciousness that you're working from. So I call myself an intuitive medium. Intuition is really the voice of your spirit, and it's the wisdom of your spirit. So when you're providing insight, and especially things relative to past lives and karma and so forth, I like to go to the higher source, because it's through our intuition that we're connected to universal consciousness. And we have access to the Akashic records and the wisdom that from all the ages. And a psychic uses more their subconscious mind, their extrasensory perception, mm-hmm. to read signals around someone.
Now, when you deal with the intuition part of your work, and then we'll talk about the mediumship again, and was this something you were born with, or did you develop it?
It's a great question. I get asked it often. And just like any ability, some people are born, they can draw, but everyone can learn how to draw. So I think everyone has the ability to access their intuition. And one of the master teachers for developing your intuition was Edgar Cayce's work. And he basically had four techniques that he recommended. Meditation overwhelmingly was number one. It's going into that place of stillness and listening to the voice within. And then there's dream analysis, automatic writing, and inspirational speaking. So it is a skill you can develop and hone into, but there are some people, I believe, that are born that are more open and have more, they just know how to access it a little bit easier.
Is it something outside of the brain, or are they tapping into something that's in the brain?
So your actual intuition is your spirit. So your spirit is involved in your whole energy field. So we can get into chakras and auras and so forth, but it's your energy being. And we all are made of the same cloth. We all come from the same energy. And we're given the free will to make choices and decisions of how we want to focus our attention and that consciousness. And that's what's so unique about us, is we can perceive things, but we can transform energy. And an intuitive will exercise that muscle where they can connect on that higher level. And it's like tuning into a higher frequency of vibration, which all information is energy, so you just are accessing energy at a high level beyond the conscious daily living. When spirit comes into the body, it tends to focus a lot on consciousness and the duties and activities that we do day to day between, eating and exercising and sleeping and so forth. We tend to keep our attention there, but it's so valuable to access your intuition, because it truly is your greatest teacher, your wisest friend, and your most knowledgeable healer, because it's been with you for eternity.
No, it really has. Now, mediumship, communicating with the other side, is that is developed primarily, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's people who can access that connection to spirit. It's something that you want to fine-tune. It's a form of communication, and it's like, you know, studying a new language. You start to learn little pieces, and then you put the words together, then sentences, and then phrases, and then you get more comprehensive with it. But it actually is very similar to the psychic aspect, in that it's extrasensory perception, and it's more connected to the subconscious mind. So your conscious mind and your subconscious mind focus externally, outside you. You're reading energy about things. But intuition is different, because it's all coming from within you. You don't need Google. You don't need Alexa. You don't need to ask anyone. It's innate within you.
Lots of discussion these days, Jeffrey, about consciousness, where it originates, what it is. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so consciousness is really just, it's the awareness of self. And some people call it the over-self. Some people call it the higher self. Some people call it the spirit. But essentially, we have the ability to know that there's something bigger about us outside the physical realms of ourselves. And to me, the area that really needs a lot more exploration is the whole idea of consciousness. And we've gone from the 80s and 90s, where they spent a lot of time studying the brain and neurology and, you know, understanding how organic the brain is, and that it actually changes, neurons actually form communities around learning and so forth. That's a very basic aspect of consciousness, because your consciousness has existed for as long as you've been able to process any kind of thought. So if you think even conservatively in terms of light years, someone who's 50 years old, you know, their consciousness is expanded out 50 light years. So it's very, very expansive. It's very interconnected, and it's very multidimensional. And it's really where the magic and the mysticism of life is, and it's a beautiful thing to explore.
Can you change the outcome of events with consciousness?
Well, I believe so, in that you can change your perception, which is your focus, your attention. Where you're putting your attention will draw in what you call as your reality, but it's very focused on what you're perceiving. And that's why many times people talk about cause and effect, but to me, we really need to focus on the perception, because what you're putting your attention toward is going to really impact the experience you have. And the experiences you have generate the energy of emotions and thoughts and beliefs and karma. And then those apply to all the natural laws, you know, law of attraction, law of abundance, law of love. So you really are the master of your ship. And really the only thing you rule, and it's very, very valuable, is your consciousness. It's that one kingdom that gives you the ability to perceive it and to act on it. And it really influences every aspect of your life, from relationships to careers to hobbies to pets to, you know, whatever you choose.
Of all these abilities, Jeffrey, that you possess, is there one that's just stands out that you're glad you've got? Whether it's intuitive or the mediumship, what would it be?
Yeah, I love that question, and it's intuition overwhelmingly, because it's different. It's many professionals I've worked with, psychics, mediums, you know, tarot card readers, astrologers, all have beautiful, beautiful gifts. They tend to focus more on a lower level, and I'm not judging them anyway. It's beautiful what they do. It's a beautiful art form. But to me, the intuition, that's the master key to unlock everything. This is what, you know, has been known by societies throughout life, all the way back to Egyptian times, to Christianity, to all different religions and cultures and philosophies have all been, you know, knowing thyself and understanding thyself. And the beauty of it, it's all within you, and it's all within your ability to understand it, to process it, and to develop it. And we're so accustomed to wanting to ask others for information or how to do things. And it's interesting, again, when you had your talk with William about artificial intelligence, how people are now getting connected to that. And it's really important that people take time, if you truly want to know what's in your higher good and what's in your best interest, especially when you're coming here to visit Earth. And, you know, I often tell my friends, Earth is a great place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here.
It's not that bad, huh?
There's so many more interesting things, though, in those other dimensions, because there's so many limitations in the physical. I mean, just time and space is only associated with the physical. And when you extend your consciousness, you take a yoga class, you do Tai Chi, you go for a run, you do gardening, whatever it is you're passionate about, you get into that place where you transcend your time and space, and you're in a different level of awareness, and it's just a beautiful place to be.
Jeff, what is soul progression? What is that? What's that mean?
So I came up with a type of reading, and many people are probably familiar with past lives and karmic readings. I have a reading, and it's using my intuition, and it's from the years I spent understanding the physical aspect of the body. I used to teach anatomy, and then I ended up being an administrator at a school here in California that studied the energy body. And what's beautiful about understanding the dynamics of the energy field is your field, it's like a fingerprint. All the information you need to know, I think Edgar Cayce called it the weather vane of the soul, your beliefs, your thoughts, your history, your karma is all within your energy field. When I do a soul progression, I tune into that energy field and I see what is important in the evolution and development of that soul. Because every soul has a desire to progress toward a higher understanding, a higher learning. And on the surface, it might not seem like that, but on a deeper level, we come to the earth plane. This is drama land. We come here to play out all our emotional dramas. But in that process, we learn about our soul and we understand it, and we get in tune with those laws of nature. And so a soul progression is accessing the wisdom, the journey, and the purpose of the soul and helping a person understand, why am I here? And it's a beautiful thing to know, because they'll start to see patterns in relationships, in hobbies, in habits, in a career path, because we tend to, even on a subconscious level, have a desire to want to fulfill what our soul came here to do. And so the reading, the progression part is, it helps you understand, how am I doing? You know, where am I at on this scale of, you know, 1 to 10 as far as improving, loving myself, or standing up for myself, or speaking my truth? So Spirit actually guided me in that term of soul progression.
Now, then on the other hand, we have what is called soul agreement, which is different.
Yeah, so a soul agreement is something your soul made with your higher self. And it said, when I came to this life, I'm going to work on this. And so the agreement is between you, your higher self, and there are books, Destiny of the Soul, Your Soul's Gift, where they do some incredible work studying what people do and creating this agreement. But the agreement is associated with karma that was created in a past life. And try to simplify it, it's called right seed karma, because it's already come to fruition. So if you have had a past life where you weren't ever able to speak your truth and to express yourself and to be who you want to be, you might choose your soul agreement to come here and say, you know what, I'm going to come here and I'm going to learn how to speak my truth. And I'm going to do it in a unique way. I'm probably going to pick a family, a culture, an occupation, and certain physical attributes that might even influence how I can perpetuate the idea of being able to express myself, you know, in a creative and innovative way. you know, I use that as an example because you are someone who is definitely doing a lot of throat chakra work in your life. Your service, the things that you do, mm-hmm. are providing you with that agreement. They're helping you to fulfill it. So once you create the agreement, which you do before you come here, there's still enough choices for you to make as far as free will goes around then how am I doing with that soul agreement? And that's what the soul progression reading does. It helps you understand how am I coming along with this agreement I had with my higher self.
And this agreement is with whom? Ourselves or some entity?
It's with your higher self. And your higher self is really God, source, creator. It's all of life. And within your agreement, there are subcontractors that we could say, or sub-agreements, because your agreement isn't just independent of yourself. You belong to a family of souls. And there's a core group of souls that many case studies have demonstrated that could be anywhere from like 10 to 20. People might refer to those as soulmates. Then there's a group of family members associated with your soul group, which could be several hundred. And then there's soul communities, which are several thousand. And, you know, we apply the principles of natural law, and one of them is like is attracted to like. And so you tend to be affiliated or attracted to souls that are working on similar things. And there's a great economy of scale. As you learn, you can influence those around you that are learning, as well as you can learn from them. And so your agreement is specific to yourself, but you belong to a group of souls that perhaps, you know, are all working towards self-expression. They might do it in all different ways. And they might even choose to be the person that comes in the family that's very authoritative, very conservative, and very strict, and silencing people's ability to be themselves. But that would be then for those souls to process that and then to work past it. So there's this beautiful synergistic relationship that exists within families of souls where they're helping one another to progress, because really and truly we're all part of the same organism. You know, I go back to biology and I think if I had identified God's source, it would be a vibrational field like the human body, and we would all be a cell within that body. And so we all have the same information within us, just like every cell in your body has the genetic material for all the other cells, but the cells are different. You know, some are liver cells, some are heart cells, some are blood cells, but we all have the ability to have access to that. But we're all contributing to the well-being of the organ and then the organism itself. And so there's such a beautiful sense of interconnectedness when you tap into this understanding of your higher self.
And the soul family is something different as well, because that doesn't mean that it's just the people you've loved and have been with in your life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the work that I've appreciated the most that I've come across is Rudolf Steiner's work and Carl Jung. And Rudolf Steiner especially they both were psychologists. They both broke away from the Freudian model, and instead of focusing just on the ego mind, they focused on the soul. But what Rudolf Steiner, he actually started a community, and I can't remember the name of it, but this community has the belief that when you reach your 30s and 40s, that's when you're really connected to the group that's your soul core.
All right, hold on for a second, Jeff. Let's talk more about that when we come back. We're talking about The Other Side on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Jeffrey Jawd with us. We're going to take calls next hour with Jeff. Jeff, let's get back to soul agreement. You can have these agreements with non-family members on the other side, right?
Yeah, correct. But ultimately, the agreement is with yourself. But you participate in, you know, a group. And again, it transcends biology. So, you know, people wonder like, oh, I was adopted, or, you know, I didn't have a certain parent around me, but people can play different roles. It's not so important how you got here as who nurtured you while you were here, because that's going to influence the progression of your soul, basically. And there's a synchronicity, too, a symbiotic relationship between you and the person who is nurturing you, and then eventually you'll probably be in the position where you're nurturing someone else.
Why is it so important and beneficial to communicate with loved ones who have passed on?
So they have such a beautiful and unique perspective. I like to call it the hawk's view or the eagle's view. They see things from above. So when we incarnate into the physical realm, we come in with blinders on, and we experience life through emotions and feelings and so forth. But when we leave the body, we leave that ego behind and the judgments and the things that come with it, so that we have a better understanding of our higher self. So to communicate with a loved one on the other side, they can provide valuable insight and guidance, encouragement, in how you can do things in your life. They're not going to tell you what to do, but they're going to let you know what might be, in your higher good. It's not like, okay, you're going to buy that house. It's like, but you should live in a place because you like this. They remind you that type of stuff. There's also tremendous healing that can happen, because when people are in body, they can get wrapped up into their dramas and their fears and so forth, and they might have left, angry, resentful, or in times where there was no communication. People call it unfinished business, and they can come through and provide that healing opportunity to say, hey, I'm sorry, in my level of consciousness, I wasn't aware that, I was doing this, but now I am, and I want to support you, and I want to nurture you that. But more importantly, I want you to have a life experience where you're not going to be in that place that I was. So there's great value that comes in communicating. And I think it's also just very comforting to know that our loved ones find other family members on the other side. Even if they never met them while they were here, there's this reunion that happens, and they like to share their stories, just as if you're going to, your high school reunion, haven't seen people in years. When you cross over to spirit, you're going to share those stories.
What's the other side like, Jeff?
There's been a lot of beautiful work done in this area, and again, some of the books I referred to, lots and lots of books, but spiritualists call it Wonderland, but it's a beautiful place where we go to, first we were welcomed by part of our soul and family members. The spirit reunites with the soul, and it recharges itself, but the most important thing it does is it evaluates its past life experience. And the way that people envision it in some of the case studies that have been done is it's like going to a library and you have multiple computer screens and you see, okay, in this life I made this choice to be with this person. What would have happened with my life if I chose not to be with them and I chose to be with, person A, B, or C? It's not a judgment, but it's an evaluation, because then you can see what it's been in the higher good to progress your soul, to heal your soul, to inspire your soul, so that you can expand your consciousness and have a greater sense of awareness. And so the self-reflective part is really important. And then essentially what you do is you sit around with some wise souls, people call them spirit guides, angels, and they help you come up with a plan for your next incarnation. And some spirits stay in the spirit world for, longer periods of time than others. It's hard to talk, when you talk to spirit, get into time, because they're not in the dimension where time exists. And so you just kind of get a feeling that, I might be coming back, sooner than later. But it's hard to put a quantitative number to it when you talk to spirit. But every spirit I've ever communicated with, even the one, especially the ones I should say that had really challenging lives, really have such a sense of relief there,
mm-hmm.
And it just has to do with such a grand understanding of themselves as being bigger than this body.
Now, when you work with clients, Jeff, what do they want from you? What do they ask you?
Yeah, they come in all different flavors, but mostly, the more frequent clients I get are parents who've lost children, and people who have lost their spouse, but they want to know that they're okay. They want to know that they're not alone. They want to know that, there tends to be a sense of the person who gets to live, almost like a guilt that holds on to them. And it's to help them understand and process that. And during a reading, when some evidence is presented that helps you feel connected as the person receiving the reading, and then letting you know that they found loved ones on the other side, the feedback I get from clients is it tends to be really, really helpful. And then once that relationship communication is still, they realize they can still develop it, as readings progress, because a lot of my clients will set up a reading, you know, once a year, twice a year, is they'll just want to know, you know, does mom know what I'm doing in my life now? Or, you know, does my partner know, is it okay for me to move on? And it's a helpful way for people to process their grief, but also most importantly, to know and understand that there's an eternal connection and it won't go away, that, you know, it transcends the physical.
Are you an aura reader?
Yeah, and that ever since I was a little boy, I saw colors around people, and I would always, you know, I didn't understand what they meant, but as time went on, I developed it. I really truly believe one of the reasons why I went into the biological sciences is I wanted to understand what the life force was and what was this field or this energy around living things, especially. And as time progressed and I learned to understand color and how the meanings of color, I associate them with the colors of the chakras and the archetypical patterns, so that when I read someone's aura, I'm actually reading the colors, I'm relating them to specific aspects of consciousness, because you have seven centers of consciousness within your energy body, and we call them chakras, and they all emulate a certain color, a certain frequency, a certain vibration, and they're associated with different life lessons. And if someone, for example, is emulating a yellow in their energy field, they're working on self-esteem, self-confidence, it's the solar plexus stuff. So it allows me to understand. And then as I get deeper into that, I can also sense, and this is where we all do it, we all have that feeling, if something's not right with someone we love or someone's excited about something, we can sense. It's not so much the expression on their face, it's the energy that they're emulating in their energy field. It's also valuable to look at auras, because you can see this is where disease and dysfunction originates. You know, Carolyn Mace and Louise Hay were pioneers in this area of energy medicine, and knowing this is kind of the holy grail mind-body-soul connection, but when someone starts, and if we go to the self-confidence, the solar plexus again, and they tend to be in that idea of servant, they're not good enough, and they don't own their power and so forth, over time, they can actually develop a disease or dysfunction in their digestive system, because those would be the organs associated with it. And this is when a lot of these health gurus talk about how disease is really helpful in the healing process of the soul, because it's bringing us to the attention of the part of the body that's associated with these chakras and these centers of consciousness and the lessons that are being learned through those parts of the body.
Now, when you were seeing these auras with different colors, do the different colors represent personality or health or what?
You know, they're really a combination of lots of things. So I hone into those. The primary colors, there's usually two or maybe three colors that dominate. Those will help me understand the soul agreement. And that's my intuition. That's the part I love to go to right away. Many people, when they go into auras, they actually like to read, like, what's going on with the energy of this person or what are they carrying? And this is where healers are tremendously important. You know, acupuncturists, massage therapists, chiropractors, any kind of medical practitioner, using their insights to read the energy of someone. Because, again, disease tends to manifest outside, and it could be a thought form, it could be a fear, it could be feeling of guilt or shame. But ultimately, if you can heal it out there, then it won't affect the physical body. But as I get more into someone's aura, I can start to understand and I can feel like there's a natural tendency towards certain color combinations that will show me, oh, this person might be like a teacher or a coach, or this person is probably into service and healthcare. It's beautiful as you get more and more familiar with these auras. And I actually teach workshops where I help people. Everyone can sense an aura. You can teach them that. Not everyone can see them in detail, but but they can. The more they practice, it really is a great tool to have because it helps you understand you're more than just a physical body, that you're this beautiful vibrational energy field that interconnects with all the other energy fields around it.
Can you change an energy field, or can the individual change it?
Just with a thought. So all it takes is a single thought. There's been beautiful studies done. Curly in photography, I believe it's a husband and wife from, I'm pretty sure they were from France. They did these incredible studies, and they would show, for example, a woman was sitting in her living room and her child walked in and her just aura expanded. And then she had a lot of conflict with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law walked in and it pulled right in. Then they would do studies where people would eat certain things that were healthy and certain things that weren't so healthy, and you could see how that changed the energy field. But by just having a person say, oh, think about, a birthday party you liked, or think about, a funeral you attended, you can see the field shifts tremendously. And I really believe that we all have an ability to feel that and sense that, and especially in people that we really care about. There's a lot that goes on in the unspoken dialogue energetically between individuals.
You're painting angel pictures these days. What's going on with that?
Oh my gosh. So, what I found with the whole COVID thing is it allowed people time to reflect, refresh, and say, okay, what is it? What am I being called to do? And ever since I was a little boy, I experienced feeling the presence of angels around me and visitations with angels. And my scientific mind always kind of put it in the back, but I've applied the whole principle and understanding of the energy body, the soul agreement, the soul progression. And I paint angels around, chakra colors and so forth. But I just have found such great joy. So I picked up a paintbrush on Halloween. I have today sold my 80th angel, and it's just a beautiful way for me to connect on a level, just putting some nice music on and getting the paints out. But I really truly feel I'm being guided, and it's, to me, the feedback I'm hearing people say is it's helping them feel a sense of hope and happiness and a connection to a higher sense of self. Who doesn't feel good about angels?
Well, we know George Bailey does, right? From It's a Wonderful Life.
Absolutely.
Do angels have wings?
So here's my belief. And again, it just comes through my consciousness. But I believe all spirit guides are an extension of our higher self. Because if you look at the principle of unity and oneness, and when you connect through your higher consciousness, you're connected to the consciousness of everything. So I believe because we're in a physical form, we project that we want to identify beings. Some people see them as Native Americans, some as Egyptians, some as angels. And an angel can show up in all different forms according to what your belief system is. And going back to what we talked about earlier in the conversation about what your perception is. To me, the wings, and I paint different styles of wings according to what the angel is presenting. But it helps you understand what I spoke earlier about the hawk and the eagle, being above things and seeing the higher perspective. It gives them that energy. But ultimately, they're an energy vibrational field that can be extremely healing and inspirational and enlightening.
You wrote a book in 2009 about how parents could cope with losing a child. I want to talk with you about that next hour, and we'll take phone calls as well. Was there an episode that got you to want to write that book?
Yeah, actually, when I was in grad school, I was in Roswell Cancer Institute, and we had to do community service, and everyone's like, oh, you know, I'm going to clean the rats, I'm going to do this, and I volunteered to work with terminally ill children, and I met with a little girl named Elizabeth, and I believe she was eight, and every Tuesday I'd go and we'd play a board game, and it was so, there's such great metaphor. We played the game of life one time, we played Candyland one time.
I know them well.
But, like, the fourth time I went, she wasn't there, and we had interesting conversations up to that point, but she was really afraid for her parents. She said, I know I'm going to be dancing in heaven with Grandpa, doing the polka, but she says, you know, Mom and Dad, they won't understand. In our last meeting, she says, you know what I feel? I think you can help parents understand that we're going to be okay.
Hold that thought, Jeff. That's an amazing thing for a little eight-year-old to say to you, but let's talk about that when we come back. And then we'll take phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.